I'm here with Mark Grant, the incumbent, Ward 1, Town Council, election on November 8th. You've finished one term. I'm David Lauderdale, and we're here with Brian Tolley. One term, what did you learn? What was the biggest problem?
Well, the biggest challenge for me coming in was understanding the people I work with, you know, and understanding it wasn't just about the Ward 1, but, you know, about the entire island and how we can make it a place that everybody can enjoy. So during those 4 years, I learned how to talk with the other town councilmen, share my views, and they share their views, and work on common ground, things that we all agreed upon. And by doing that, you know, in the 4 years, you know, we got a lot done. You know, we got a plan, an actual plan to provide sewer to everybody on the island, 5-year plan. And right now we're in the 3rd year of that. And by doing that, we hope like everybody have sewer mainline access. And we also are working with Foundation, Low Country Foundation of, I forgot the last name. But they're also working with those who may not be able to afford it so that they can supplement getting it hooked up, sewer hookup. So which is a good thing, you know. With our mayor, he also put it out and encouraged everybody to believe in this philosophy of clean, green environment. And by getting to that point, everybody bought it in terms of if we want to move this island in terms of a greener place, we got to get rid of the philosophy or the idea that if you can't afford it, or everybody should have actual access to sewer. Then we also look at dirt roads, which was another phenomenal challenge. You know, how are we going to pay for it? And we had to come up with a road fee, which was a good thing. You know, so it's not just in Ward 1 where dirt roads exist that public people use, but it's also in the various other wards of the island. And everybody came to an understanding that, you know, we can have bike paths throughout the island, that it's possible to do actual pavement of roads so people can feel safe on these roads, and at the same time have the ambulance or fire department get through there without worrying about damaging equipment. So that was a very good thing that we worked on for this for the last 4 years. Some other good things was the recreation center. You know, recently we just brought that up. We almost did not follow through on it. But we believe that, you know, if we want our kids to have opportunities to have fun outside school, a safe place for them to want to be. And I believe one of our challenges with our teenagers, they have opportunity to travel anywhere on the island because some of them had access to cars. But, you know, when I was growing up in Hilton Head, one of the things that I felt was very good was going to the rec center after school, playing basketball, talking to the different people over there. And it was just a comfortable, safe place to hang out. And I wanted to be that for teenagers and for the young. And we have the recreation that has so many different things for kids to do on the island. It keeps them, in my opinion, it keeps them active, you know. And at the same time, exposes them to a variety of new sports that I did not even know about growing up, you know. For instance, the kids can play tennis. They actually can learn how to swim. They actually can learn how to row and sail, fishing, surfing. I mean, there's so many different things that the Recreation Center Hilton Head has to offer that you won't find in many places, basically in the South. You know, so, you know, I'm very appreciative of what we accomplished in, you know.
Where do you stand on that? Where does that stand?
Right now, it's moving forward, you know. I can't tell you if it's going to come back up since the hurricane. You know, if it does, I still hope that we will follow through on that issue, on that goal, because, you know, it's been since, 1989, I graduated and it was there. So it's a very old building. And the bathrooms need to be refurbished. We need to redo the pool. There's so many things that need to be done. And I hope we won't, you know, go back on that. I really hope not. Because, you know, we have so many things for everybody else to do, but we have to make sure that the kids have something to do too. You know, we can't say we want kids to be safe. We want kids to stay active, and we don't have a conducive environment for them to be active in once school is out.
You know? But do you think, Do you think that the sewer issue is a closed issue at this point if it gets
finished? To me, yes.
Other than people being able to hook in and then being able to afford the monthly fees or whatever.
Yeah, I do believe so. And the reason why.
But roads, where does that, what roads is an ongoing thing?
Yeah, I think we're going to get more roads done now. You know, we would try to average about 3 or 4 roads a year. I can see us doing about 10 roads a year. And the key to that, the challenge is making sure that people give up the easement rights so that we can go in and pave it. You know, that's one of the challenges that I have had. You know, you get 9 out of 10 that do it, and that one person wants to get paid for their property because they believe it's coming, they're losing too much. But they have to realize, people have to realize the value, you know, of having that paved road. You know, no more divots and having to refill it, potholes. Two, no more damage to your car because you don't have the equipment to actually pave it. So I'm hoping that people will be convinced. I know they will be convinced that dirt roads is something that we need to eliminate if we can.
Well, if your opponent says that those are key issues, mm-hmm. and here we are looking at Art Center before we do the basics, mm-hmm. is your response that you do have the basics addressed? Or
yeah, I think sewer, pretty much sewer is done. You know, within these 5 years, going on a third, you know, we will have the sewer issue addressed. You know, then we also have this referendum coming up where people have the opportunity to vote on for additional funds to make sure that we follow through on that if there's some type of shortfall in terms of the budget, you know, which would be a good thing. You know, but however, the plan's in place. PSD is actively going out and getting rights to go ahead and install the sewer or getting the plans together, you know. Gumtree is a great example of an area that's done. We worked on Wild Horse Road, pretty much that's done. And in the new year, we'll be looking going down Marshland Road. So there's some key areas that, you know, we're working on and the plan is in place. Even after the mayor finishes 4 years, choose not to run again. I believe it's pretty much a done deal, even though we have to vote on the budget every year. But I think as the councilman, you know, we proposed it, everybody supported for the first three. You know, I see that as a non-starting issue, to be honest.
How about USCB? You were a proponent of USCB.
Well, I supported USCB. I did not like where it was going. I supported it, and the reason why is because I felt that, you know, was the northern part of Ireland had some more open space that could be utilized for USCB. But I do believe that USCB would be a good attraction for the island because, you know, we do need some youth on the island. I think by bringing more youth to the island would allow, especially in hospitality management, will allow the kids or the young men and women more opportunities in terms of experiencing real life in terms of working in the hotel industry. And by having these young, mature men and women also will motivate us to start thinking outside the box. I think as we get older sometimes, we start to fear some of the things that we left when we came here. You know, I had opportunity when at one time when we were going through this recession to go up to Athens, Georgia, and I noticed that Athens did not have a difficult recession as we did. Because the schools continue to grow. If you go up there now, compared to, I don't know, I've been here how many years now, 16. You go there now, you see how much it expands. Athens look like UGA, you know, in my personal opinion. Or Athens is UGA or vice versa. But they have new buildings. They have luxury apartments. We have retired people who graduated, that's alumni, who come back, and now they have cul-de-sacs, affordable, well, it's not so much affordable, but beautiful housing developments because people want to get back into school, be part of an institution. At the same time, they're going back, taking classes, and continuing to learn. And by sharing their learning experience of what they did outside, out in the real world with young kids, those students will have an opportunity to understand what the real world is like prior to leaving college. You know, and vice versa, you know. The elderly have opportunity to relate to the young kids and or the young adults and see things at a different angle or a different experience. So I think it's a good balancing act. And I, by doing this on Hilton Head, you know, we start looking at different things of how we will want individuals who want to live here in Hilton Head full time, what we could do to help them live here and be affordable. And I think by providing that opportunity, they could share some input on what we need here to have in Hilton Head. What are some options in terms of jobs that we could provide here that you could do anywhere in the world, but you choose to want to do it here on Hilton Head? So I think we just got to start looking that, you know, Hilton Head is a global, can be a part of the global economy. We just had to find those special experiences, special jobs that fit well with Hilton Head. But by having those young, energetic, educated kids graduating or going through the education process, they might have some more insight in terms of what Hilton Head could look like in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, and on that topic, what did you think about the town closing down the economic development office?
Well, to be honest with you, I was in favor of that. And the reason,
in favor of closing it?
Mm-hmm. And the reason why, it did not suit what it was supposed to do, okay? In my personal opinion, I felt we did not have the right leadership that was willing to do the things to attract businesses here that we did not have. That was the whole intent. You know, I felt that, you know, based on the EDC, they should have gone and recruited new jobs, new businesses that say, hey, this is Hilton Head. Move your business here. You know, for instance, there could be some type of internet business that would do well here. More banking and industry, technology fields, medical things that could be, or engineering things that could be done. That you, all you need is computers, you know, high level technical. But there was no real, in my personal opinion, there was no real. How can I say it? No real meat on entrepreneurship things that we needed that I felt that we that should have been accomplished in the 4 years that we tried to, or the 3 years we tried to get it off the ground. You know, do I think we should go back to it? Yes. I just think we just need to more than likely put it under the umbrella of the town and do it more of a something similar that we do with a committee. Something similar that we do with, we're doing with the venue committee, the arts committee. You know, we have a heritage and history task force. We had a circular circle task force. And by bringing it under the town instead of an outside entity, you know, now we can say, okay, what are you specifically doing? And then are you meeting the goals and expectations so that they won't go off track? Because I felt that they went off track on some things, you know. But we do, but still have the business people on this committee directing it and still having a person that leads it. I just felt that that would protect, that would allow more growth and input from the town and the town council. Instead of it being a separate entity, and then they just coming to us, ask for money, and then they're doing their own thing, but because we're still held accountable for what they accomplished, instead of they're doing their own thing, and then we're finding out later that there's some issues going on.
What do you think of the annexation of Bay Point, and secondly, how that came about?
Well, I'm in favor of annexation, and the reason why is because we need more jobs in this area, you know, and the reason why I say that is because usually during this time of the year, it tends to slow down a great deal, and we have people who work, you know, very hard for 3 to 4 months out of the year, and then they have to find some alternative ways to make a living. So my hope was by bringing on Bay Point, they would have some new jobs, more jobs. It might make it a more competitive field in terms of having, since we have a USCB on the island, we have a hospitality management system, that the young adults will go over there and learn, you know, about six senses, learn about how they do things different in Southeast Asia and be able to gain some experience. Two, hopefully some young high school kids will be able to get some jobs. And then they also talked about, too, the tax revenue that would assist us in terms of trying to accomplish some things in terms of a tax money promoting the island, because right now we wanted, or some people felt we needed to have a resort that could bring in new and exciting people to the island. And that might have been an avenue that could do that. Now, do I respect the idea? And basically, too, they talked about how they would be conserving things, protecting the environment, very little change to the island. And, of course, none of the people over there would be the owner of the island. You could not become a local citizen, because the individuals who would rent out would be people who own homes various other places. So it would be more of a timeshare hotel type concept. So I felt it was good. Now, in terms of the way the it was perceived that we were doing something behind the scenes, it wasn't like that. Anybody who calls me, and I do get a variety of calls about from businesses who might want to come to Hilton Head, you know, I usually sit down with them, and if they want me to, and they share their concept with me. I don't tell them it's going to be approved or anything. I just say, well, okay, this sounds like a great idea. I said, well, you might need to look back and try to fix some things, or ask questions about how would this be a benefit to Hilton Head. And they would share those concepts. And then after that, you know, I would tell them, of course, have you met with our town manager staff, followed through on certain things? And they said, well, not yet. Then I said, well, let me give you a person you need to talk to so you can go ahead and get started. So that's the similar thing that, you know, we went with in terms of Bayport Island. The only difference was that instead of me going by myself, they invited myself and another council, and they talked to us both about it at the same time. And that was the only difference. But at that time, we never made a decision if we supported it or not. They would just share the input about the idea.
What do you think was driving it? Why did they do it that way? Why did it come out as something that the mayor was all in favor of when we haven't even heard about?
Well, in terms of that, I can't tell you that was because of the mayor, because the person who brought it to my attention was Tom Gardner. He gave me a call. He said, Mark, you know, we'd like for you to sit down with us, and I have a guy that wants to do a 5-star resort. And they just talked about it. Nobody said anything about the mayor knew about it in advance or anything like that. I was unaware of that part.
How about the arts center, okay, arts venue? What is your stand on that?
Well, we got to see where it goes, you know. Right now, we have a performing arts center that is struggling. It needs some maintenance every year. They come to us for money to maintain what they do have. You know, some people may feel that it's being mismanaged. And, you know, my challenge is, you know, is the arts something that, you know, do we believe the arts is beneficial to the island? Yes. Do I want to invest in the arts in terms of buying a building? Or at this time, I'll be honest with you. Our challenge is, prior to this hurricane, I thought Hilton Head was out of the recession. I thought this was probably going to be our best year in terms of tourism and business on the island. But now we have to, in my personal opinion, we're going to have to take a couple steps back to see and evaluate where we are. And the reason why, because we still have a lot of people who's trying to get back where they were prior to the storm. We have so much debris that we have to clean up if the FEMA does not pick up the stuff or pay for it. So we're going to have to come up with a way to figure out how we're going to deal with this. You know, and I've been looking at the law in terms of public monies for private roads or private entities. And I'm trying to figure out, is this the legal thing to do? Can the town actually do it? And if we do, if you say, well, we're going to do Palmer to Doom, but you're not going to do a different road, let's say Jonesville Road, how is that fair? You know, so eventually we're going to have to make some tough decisions how we do this, and then we're going to have to look at it in terms of how we're going to pay for it. You know, our town manager says that, you know, FEMA say, yeah, if FEMA says yes, they will pay for it. He told us that it might take 2 years before we get our money back. So where are we going to get the money from, you know, to do other things? I don't know. But I think those are some things that, you know, the town manager, the town council, we're going to have a serious conversation about. You know, but one thing I can say, which is very good, it brought us together as a community. I see neighbors helping neighbors, getting things done and out in terms of their home, donating what they don't need, especially they were blessed that they didn't have anything, any problems with their own homes. I see foundations doing good things to help people. You know, even though it was a tough storm that hurt a lot of people, it did do some good things in terms of bringing our community together. You know, and I think we'll get back there eventually. I hope we get back there before spring, but it's going to take us time.
Yeah. Have you got any lessons learned so far on the hurricane and the town's preparation, the town's reaction?
Yeah. To be honest with you, being a native island, we heard the name hurricane for so many times and we never left. When I first heard of it, the Governor Haley said that she is told everybody evacuated. Personally, I thought it was way too early. Two, I didn't think it was that serious. Just like pretty many, because we heard the idea that Hilton Head's in this inlet and we're protected from hurricanes. You know, that's the theory I went off of. It may not have been the right theory, but that was the theory I went off of for a very long time. However, you know, I think, you know, the governor did the right thing. Let's get the tourists out of here and let's get things secure so we won't have everybody leaving the island all at one time or leaving the low country all at one time. I think our town manager did an excellent job. I'm very proud of him. He communicated, which was crazy. We had a town council meeting the same day when we were trying to prepare for evacuation, you know, and he told us, he said, look, make sure you get your things, get your family in order, get them in place so they can be safe. And he told us the plan. I will be communicating with you every day to let you know what is going on here on Hilton Head or in the area. We went over the plan prior to this because every year our fire department talks about the big schemes of how this, in case of a hurricane evacuation happens, how we will secure USCB, how we work with the National Guard. I'm be honest with you, it's very detailed and very organized. And I'm so proud of the entire staff in terms of how they did this. Do we have some challenges? Yes. Some of the challenges was, you know, coming back. And one of that is, you know, when you think about it, not everybody may not be in terms of financially stable where they can go longer than 7 days away from their home and be comfortable and also be able to afford it. I think we have to come up with a plan in terms of that. You know, when I was little, I forgot what hurricane, we stayed at McCracken. That was horrible. That was horrible. However, you know, this time, much better, way better. You know, we have places for people to stay in terms of shelters, you know. But it's never comfortable enough, you know, for our citizens. You know, I don't have an answer for that. I just think, of course, the school's still going to have to be the place to go in terms of a hurricane. But the problem was maybe what we should do in the future is the checkpoint system. Put it out a little further instead of everybody coming to the bridge and then the police officer turning everybody around. You can't, you know. Come on to the island. I think he did a good job in terms of communicating people. You know, if you can afford to stay away, stay away. And he communicated that. You know, I think everybody, when they came back, there was a mad rush to get back on the island. That was a challenge because everyone wanted everything to be fixed now. And they were, you know, a lot of people were in shock. You know, I think that's some areas that we're going to have to talk about and figure out how we can fix that. I thought that the staff did an excellent job in terms with the National Guard and getting the tree service companies come in, because they did an excellent job clearing a path from the bridge to the various subdivisions. You know, I think we have to work with the PUDs better in the future in terms of what is your real plan if trees fall, and how are you going to be responsible in cleaning this up? And we could, I think that's something we have to do a better job with, and working with each PUDs. You know, I think he did a good job in terms of reserving funds to prepare for this, you know, and over all these years, we have never touched that money.
In how much you got? $12 million?
Yeah, somewhere around there. So I felt that, you know, and can you imagine, I'm just being honest, can you imagine all the different town councilmen who always had plans and we need to spend this, we need to spend that, and Steve said, no, this is what we need for that day that we hope may never happen. And by the town councilman being responsible, never touching that, I appreciate that. So it's emotional, because I just think, you know, he's done an excellent job, a wonderful job, and I respect him for that. Do we have some people who are going through some tough times? You're definitely right. I think we have to look at that. But the question is, you know, the role of government. That we always got to come back to that. The role of government. What is the role of government? And should we get involved in personal property, personal rights, and get involved in that? Or should we allow everybody to take control of their own situation? You know, and we do it in terms of creating a policy that everybody should follow, hopefully follow, but not get in terms of individual. But the reality is, you know, we have people who lost a great deal, and we as a government have to figure out how can we help them without taking away the self-determination of them stepping up and doing the things they need to do at the same time to get back on their feet. You know, so I think that's going to be a discussion right now, too, that we need to have. You know, but once again, I'm still proud of all the work that the foundation, the town staff has done so far this year.
Well, one thing I read of your opponent saying was that you would be, I guess he's talking about you, go along to get along, and not putting the Ward 1 issues out front and making them something that the council is very well aware of. Is that right?
Well, you know, in politics, you know, everybody has issues. You know, my issues are very important. I think, you know, I just think he probably doesn't understand, you know, the detail and the work that goes along in terms of being, you know, working with a 6-member committee, you know, and understanding that we don't have unlimited funds. You know, I think that, you know, by working with the town council over these 4 years, I had opportunity to build rapport with them and at the same time have those discussions. You may not see all the time on television. So the reality is, I just think he doesn't know. I think he's not informed, you know. And at the same time, too, I think, like I try to tell people, you know, I'm not, no disrespect, I think Billy Ferguson has done an excellent job over the years, you know. But, you know, I'm not a kind of person who's going to, how can I say that, yell and scream, you know. I believe in looking at, you know, the policy, analyzing it, see how it can best be you, how Ward 1 can be best affected. I'm going to give you a great example. Prior to this new changeover with the mayor, we were more about, everybody said, well, personal rights. We weren't getting involved in a lot of things. We believe if you own property, you take care of your property best you can. However, you know, let's say, for instance, you know, I voted for the beach renourishment Hilton Head Plantation as an example. The reason why I voted for Hilton Head Plantation in terms of receiving sand was because, one, it was the right thing to do. And the reason why, because it was some severe erosion along that baseline. Two, by showing that, you know, I'm not just about Ward 1, about the other island. When I bring up my issues, and I say, well, you know, Mr. Harkins, you notice that instead of me being selfish and say, look, you all take care of your community. You know, I said, no, you all came, the people of Hilton Head Plantation came to us looking for some assistance in terms of getting your beach renourishment, even though it's a private beach. And you were worried about the ocean coming in terms of the marsh and destroying the ecosystem area, which is very important in terms of the storm water. I want you to be aware, too, that we have stormwater issues, too, in our community. And I'm in favor of supporting you, not because it's you, but at the same time, I see there's a need. Now, I need you to understand, too, the Ward 1 has a need. And by doing that, he was open to looking at some of the issues in our community in Ward 1, as an example. So, in the new year coming up, that issue is going to be brought up in terms of the full council and how we could address stormwater in Ward 1. That's just one. Another example, the Sandbox Museum. Very popular museum in terms of on the south there. Right now, in the future, we will be building a brand new building for the Sandbox in the Caligny Circle area. Okay. By doing that, I can say, well, because we're taking TIF funds and looking at ways to do a museum and Circle to Circle, I want you to look over here in terms of Mitchellville, okay? Both of them are doing the same, similar things. Both of them have great opportunities. If we're going to do Sandbox, I need you all to help support Mitchellville, okay? And my point is, when we do things and things are open and that allows us to open up doors for other things. So you can't, and then my thing is, you can't be a hypocrite for one and not be a hypocrite for the other. If you're saying that we should take public monies to do a Sandbox, and I think they do wonderful service, but at the same time, we have a museum that has a story of its own that is great for this island that has not been fully told and fully exposed. My true belief is by putting the same type of money in Sandbox, you can do the same thing in terms of Mitchellville and getting the same support. And many people agree with that too. So we have more people in favor today of promoting Mitchellville, figuring out how to get this museum alive than 2 years ago, as an example. And I can give you many more. You know, another great example, prior to Sea Pines, we did dredging the harbor. We put some money aside for dredging the harbor. I think it was something like $200,000 and continues to grow. By supporting that, there's other things that pretty much open up the avenue for us to do more in terms of dirt roads and water and sewer. So my whole point is, by doing all these different things, you know, it's not about, you have to analyze, you have to talk it out, you have to make compromises, you have to show people sometimes their errors so that they can see if we do one thing for one group, you have to do it for the other two. And by doing this, everybody realized that, you know, in my personal opinion, that we can do a lot for this island, that everybody feel like they're apart and not separate, you know. And not saying that he thinks that, but I do think that, you know, when you don't go to the meetings, you're not involved in community as much as you say you are. You know, because we have committee meetings probably once a month. And then I have meetings with people in the community probably twice a week. And we talk about different things. You know, what needs to happen, what people want. And so, you know, if my opponent says that, you know, it's a get-along system, it's not. It's pretty much, well, it is, part of it is, because we're all working together for the benefit of the tile and not just for certain parts.